There it is. In verse 18, the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. By their unrighteousness, they suppress the truth. What can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them, it says in verse 19. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they're without excuse. Although they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in their lusts of their heart to impurity, the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. These people who don't believe in God, even though they could believe in God, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The end of verse 25. And then 26 says, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. And we begin to see the symptoms of this turning away. Their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness. More symptoms here. Evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips. I just want to stop there and I want to say to you, gossip is if you're not part of the problem, and you're not part of the solution, but you're talking about it with other people. That's gossip. Okay? If you're worried about what someone is doing that's sin, go to them. If when you go to them about sin, they don't want to hear it, go with someone else to them. If you have someone in your life who's committing sin and you've gone to them and they won't hear, if they're a member of this church, you bring it to the church, they will be put out of this church in their sin. And taught that if you don't repent of your sin, you'll be put out of heaven, not just the church. But if you refuse to go to someone and you refuse to say it, but you just talk about them and talk about them, oh, we need to pray for so-and-so, that is not the solution. That's not how it works. Jesus said, if someone sins and they sin against you, and the scripture is clear, we're the body of Christ, when one suffers, we all suffer. If there's sin in the camp, Israel doesn't succeed in their warring against the enemies of God. It has to be dealt with. Gossip is talking about it and not dealing with it. If you're not part of the problem and you're not part of the solution, say a prayer and move on. And if it's someone close to you and you feel you must go to them because they're in sin, do it. And don't tell others what you really think about the others and what I ought to do, and boy, I'm gonna. Gossip. One of the symptoms of turning away from God. And if we find ourselves doing it, there we are. So if you are envious of someone, if you're a gossip, if you slander, which is saying something about someone that's not true, right? Haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. I don't think that has a time limit. Apparently, you know, you got to do what mom and dad say. I agree with that when it's my kids. And then when my mom calls me and tells me stuff, I go, oh, ma. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. So that's a list. And oh my goodness, that's the bad news. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. Gossips deserve to die. People who don't listen to their parents deserve to die. People who are malicious and envious and murder and strife. People who are practicing homosexuality, the scripture says, deserve to die. But everybody that's turning away from God will face an eternity apart from God. That's death. I'm not sure that this advocates capital punishment for everyone who sins. But watch out you don't get caught out and labeled with that. Or are there some of the sins in here you say, yes, murderers, kill them. But not me when I wish that I had my neighbor's car. Right? Not me when I talked about so-and-so and called it a prayer meeting. Right? Don't kill me. But when God judges absolute holiness and we're outside of it, and he says, you don't come in, that's death. And Paul says, when God judges, he's right. And I agree with Paul. I yield myself to the scripture. And I say, God is right when he judges. People who deserve these things, they don't only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. And that's the difficulty we have in this world. Now, if you continue and look at Romans chapter 2, verse 1, he says this, you have no excuse, oh man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. So, here's the bad news. The bad news is the test came back and we all test positive for S-I-N. Not HIV, S-I-N. We're all sinners in this room. And you could pick out one of the sins in the list and go, aye, but that's not one that I suffer from. God deal with that. But the ones I do suffer from, have mercy on me, Lord. You know what I'm like. I'm trying. And we find out that what Romans says is you have no excuse. You're just like the others. I want to paint a picture, like sort of a metaphor. If there was a dry, parched land and a spring of water fed a burn that watered that land, and then someone stopped up the spring with rock and earth, would justice not call for removing the rock and earth that stopped the water? Would it be anger to take a pick and a shovel and open up that spring again, revealing the truth that springs of living water are available, that no one in that parched land need die of thirst, that the land might be fruitful and well watered? What would be your response to the African nation that built a dam causing the other countries downriver to dry up? And how would you respond to their children starving and dying? What would be a just expression of that indignation? That dam must be dealt with. The problem is that we are the dam, because the scripture says, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, by their unrighteous, suppress the truth. When you're a so-and-so, church people, when you're a so-and-so, you're hiding the truth, the light. When you indulge in practice that is sinful and people are watching what's the church like and they see us not acting like Jesus, it suppresses the truth and it doesn't get out. Why would I ever go to church? I know what they're like. I got one for a neighbor. You know what they did? I heard them. We are the problem. It's not they, those sinners, but we sinners. Our sin hides the truth. Let it out. Let the truth out. Confess your sins and be healed. The righteous prayer, the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Your prayers will make a difference when you're not trotting in on your muddy boots to God's white, white carpet saying, hey, I'm here. I'd like to talk to you about a few things, but I haven't dealt with my sin. I just would like to come before you and have you fix the problems, but I'll keep my sin if it's all right. Unacceptable. And Paul says, there's good news, the righteous will live by faith, but there's bad news. Here's the stuff.